You're all locked in now.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard joining us now from Athlon Sports. Is one of our favorites. He knows college football better than anybody else out there. It's Brian Fisher here on The Zone Sports Network. Brian, how you doing?
Hey, Brian.
Good to be on with you guys.
Good to catch up with you again. Hey, the BYU freight train continues to roll on. Obviously, the lack of competition is there, and BYU beats up Texas State easily. They'll probably do the same to Western Kentucky. How important is this Boise State coming up for the Cougars here in a couple weeks?
It's huge. I think that is the one game that you got to circle on the calendar if you're a Cougars fan, because that just from the name brand aspect of things, I think adds to the legitimacy of their candidacy of, in terms of at least making it into a potential New Year's Six game. And look, I wouldn't count out that San Diego State game either at the end of the year. Maybe there's the possibility, I know somebody floated it the other day, of potentially scheduling Marshall out there. Given the way that they just had a game that needed to be taken away. So the schedule is at least coming together enough to where BYU can say, hey, you know, we played everybody in front of us. And I think at this point in the year, given everything that has gone on, that's all you can say at this point.
We had a conversation yesterday with Pete Thamel. I threw this question at him. I want to throw it at you as well, because I think it's very pertinent to what BYU's situation is. We're seeing this level of success and national excitement with a BYU team that's scheduled way down. A schedule like this in a given year, in a normal year, is it doable? Would it get this kind of attention? Would BYU still be ranked in the top 10, or is this just an anomaly?
I think it would be just an anomaly, and I think there would be a lot more questioning in terms of how strong that schedule is. You know, if this were a normal year, you'd get your normal non-conference matchups. And let's face it, the conversation about BYU's schedule in general has really just kind of come down to the fact that it is so front-loaded most years. You know, playing those non-conference, usually Power 5 opponents, either on the road or at home, so early in the year. And I think that leads to a lot of people seeing that the team just gets beat up, you know, early on, and can lead to later losses. But this is life as an independent, and I think BYU is navigating things as well as can be. But certainly everything involved in this crazy 2020 season is kind of set aside on its own. But, you know, if they had put this together in a normal year, I have no doubt that they would be much closer to kind of the middle top 20 of the top 25 instead of the top.
What's the national perception of the Pac-12 right now?
Not good. I think that's where it starts. You know, I think while I don't know if anybody is considering the Pac-12 in terms of the overall health of the conference compared to the ACC as you know, I think everybody would put that as the lowest Power 5 league right now. But in terms of having an elite contender out of the Pac-12, you know, that's where their reputation has been harmed. You know, they're just not consistently producing a college football playoff contender. Certainly hurts the perception of the league. You know, I think it's obviously also a conference in transition. I mean, there's been some big names that have been shuffled out. You know, having a marquee program like USC go through not only as many coaches as they've had, but having that constant refrain over Clay Helton's tenure, I think, doesn't help either. You know, it's nice to see, you know, the recruiting pick up from places like Oregon and what Mario Cristobal has done with the Ducks, but at the same time, until the league consistently gets those big non-conference wins and until they're consistently contending for playoff berths, I just think the Pac-12 is going to be a step behind some of the others out there, and that includes you know, others like the ACC, which have those elite contenders that they can talk about on a consistent basis.
So a one-loss Pac-12 team, there's just no chance, huh?
Not even close. And I think you can maybe even make a case for a Big 12 team like Oklahoma State if they had one loss to potentially sneak into there. But I think if it's the Pac 12, there's no way. At least this year, in particular. I mean, maybe in other years, if there had been a one-loss Pac-12 team and they'd been sitting there as a conference champion, I think they could make a decent case. But just the shortened season schedule, it's going to be too much to overcome. You really have to root for a lot of chaos elsewhere. And really, the committee is going to be tasked with finding the four best teams. And to be able to prove that over such a short schedule, you've got to have a USC, an Oregon, one of those name brand programs really blowing teams out. And I don't know if that is going to be the case this year because of everything going into this season. It just seems like it's going to be too far-fetched for me to consider it. We'll see if it ultimately ends up playing out that way, but the margin for error is just so thin out west, and I think the Pac-12, they understand that, but they're going to go ahead and see what ends up happening.
Brian, do you consider Stanford a perennial football power?
I wouldn't say perennial football power, but certainly they've trailed off the last couple of years, and I do think that they can contend certainly in the north and get back to where they were a couple of years ago when they were really kind of flagship of the Pac-12. But recruiting has trailed off. There's no doubt about that. I think the offense itself. I mean, you look at changes that have gone on elsewhere in college football. Alabama has changed their offenses to kind of keep up with the times, but Stanford hasn't, and I think that's to their detriment. And we kind of have seen that as the program has trailed off these last couple of years. They've had awful injury luck as well. I think that should be said. In credit to David Shaw, they've dealt with a lot there on the farm, but the overall health of the program is pretty solid. But making that leap from good to great is always going to be difficult. The margin for error for a program like that when you're recruiting such a small group of kids is always going to be tough. And so you have a little misses, you have a little some injury luck that starts to run out. You're going to end up slipping a little bit. And I think that's where Stanford at least has found themselves in the short term now.
Brian Fisher joining us here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. You look across the landscape of what we're looking at nationally. Alabama does their thing. Clemson continues to do their thing. Is it really just a race for those two again?
Yeah, I think the only kind of team that can maybe throw a wrench into things is Ohio State. And certainly looking at the big their opener, I think they looked pretty impressive, especially considering you got to shake off a little bit of rust in that first game, and you don't really know what Nebraska was going to throw at them. But in terms of having an elite program out there, it starts with recruiting. It obviously starts with coaching talent as well. But for the past 5-6 years, I mean, Clemson and Alabama have been kind of in a conference to themselves. We've seen that with the national titles that they've all won and the consistent playoff appearances they've had. And I don't see any reason to think any different in 2020. Now, can Ohio State break into that group? Yes, they've been right there with those others, and they operate the same way. And so I think because they have a special quarterback, because they have first-round talent at offensive line and on defense, they have a shot as well. But it's going to be tough to break the stranglehold those two have on the sport. And that's just kind of the state of affairs right now in college football.
We're watching a mess with Wisconsin and their quarterback situation. The Big Ten deciding to give a 21-day quarantine or a 21-day no-play policy on a positive test. Is this going to come back to bite them, this 21-day policy? And are they the only conference with a 21-day policy?
Yeah, this is the most restrictive of the leagues in terms of returning to play after a positive test. And let's face it, they put that in place because they needed to assure the presidents that that they could move forward with football in a manner that suits what their thresholds would be. And so it's going to be difficult. I think a lot of the coaches, publicly and privately, have spoken to this being a potential roadblock for a season, and we're already seeing it now with Wisconsin. I mean, you just burst onto the scene and have such an important player to the team, and it's not just the starting quarterback in Graham Mertz. I mean, they're backup as well. So now they're down to their fourth stringer. If you were to look at their kind of preseason depth chart, for three big time games and in a condensed season. I mean, that means a lot. You know, we're talking about, you know, 1 to 2 games likely deciding a division race. And, you know, from that, you're talking about New Year's Six games from there. So this is a huge, huge impact, I think, not only on the Badgers, but I think for the Big Ten perception overall. And so this is what they signed up for. This is the restrictions they put in place. You understand it coming from, you know, where their concerns were to even returning to the field. And but at the same time, on the field, this is going to have a huge impact, and we're going to see that play out starting this weekend.
Brian Fisher right here on the Zone Sports Network. College football continuing for another weekend we're still about a week and a half away from the Pac-12 beginning. How much confidence do you have in Clay Helton's USC crew, and how do you anticipate this Pac-12 will line up this year?
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to watch. And I mean, like we said just now with Wisconsin, I mean, it's going to be, you know, do teams get affected by positive tests? That's going to be something to kind of keep in the back of your mind when evaluating this Pac-12 season. I think on paper, USC, to me, is the team to beat just because of the questions at quarterback for Oregon. Obviously, you're talking about losing their best player in Penei Sewell. They've got a lot of young faces. That's going to be a team to contend with in 2021 and beyond. But given everything, I think USC, because of the continuity that they've had on the offensive staff, having the quarterback there, having the depth at wide receiver and offensive line that they've been able to build up, I think they are the favorite. I like the staff moves that Clay Helton has made in the offseason in terms of bringing in some new guys that know college football and know college football well. I think they are the team to beat, but it's just going to be so topsy-turvy. And I would throw out, I mean, Utah is going to be right there. Arizona State is a team that people I don't think are talking enough about coming out of the South. We'll see in that opener. But really, really fascinating race, I think, in the Pac-12. If you kind of remove the fact that I don't think anybody's going to be of playoff caliber, it shapes up to be a really, really fun race for that conference title.
Brian, I know that you work with the NFL as well, and you do a lot of great work for them. I want to get your thoughts on Joe Burrow, his transition into the NFL, and I want to know, will Cincinnati be willing to get him some protection to be able to shore up the pocket a little bit, and can he win at Cincinnati?
I think so. I mean, they've been so close these last couple of weeks to getting that big time win. You know, where they've been in every game really so far, which is you know, speaks a lot to Joe Burrow and how good he has been early. I mean, this is a team that obviously had the number one pick in the draft. You know, the roster is just not in great shape, and I think that is the next step in terms of where Cincinnati can go from here is definitely getting him some offensive line help. I mean, every game he just gets beat up. I mean, it was one thing to get 6 or 7 sacks a couple weeks ago, and just every game that those hits are going to add up, and he is certainly feeling them. I always love the reaction shots in the Cincinnati games, because it's always him on the sidelines just kind of staring blankly, knowing that he's got some more hits coming his way. And he's been terrific. I think, you know, for that organization to really progress, it does start up front with the offensive line. We saw that against their opponent last week in Cleveland. I mean, they've really made it a point to improve that offensive line in front of Baker Mayfield, and you're starting to see some of the positive effects that come out of it. You see it the other way, you know, in Sam Darnold and the Jets, where he just has not had the offensive line in front of him, and that's why his career, you know, in New York is kind of in doubt right now. So it does come down to, can you protect those young quarterbacks? Can you allow them to have time to throw? Joe Burrow's done a great job just overcoming that in the short term, but in order for him to be at that long-term success in Cincinnati, it does come down to, can they find him some help?
Are you buying what the Steelers are putting together right now?
I do, because I think they are one of the more complete teams in the NFL right now. I mean, you look at, you know, some of the other contenders out there. I mean, look at Seattle just on Sunday night. I mean, we knew their defense was not going to be good enough to keep this run going, and it bit them. And for Pittsburgh, we they had the run game going, where they have so many weapons at wide receiver, a veteran quarterback. I know Big Ben did throw the three interceptions on Sunday, and that kind of let the Titans back into the game. But this is a team that, you saw the makings of it last year. The defense was good. We know that they can play some really good defense. One of the better defenses, if you're looking at DVOA and some of the other advanced metrics, they are really attacking on that side of the ball. You combine that with a team that loves to run the football, control the clock. They are built in today's modern NFL to really do a variety of things on the field. And so that's what makes them so dangerous. That's why they're the only undefeated team left. I think it really does shape up to be a fascinating, fascinating AFC title picture between them. You got the Chiefs. We'll see with Baltimore this weekend. Just a lot of good teams in the AFC that are really not only shooting for that number one seed, but shooting for the Super Bowl as well.
Brian Fisher right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. If you were to rank draftable quarterbacks right now, obviously Trevor Lawrence is number one. Justin Fields, number two. Is Zach Wilson close to breaking into the number three, number four spot, or is he right there with those two?
I think he's definitely in the 3-4 spot. I think it's going to be a fascinating conversation because Trey Lance, who I think would probably be the consensus number three guy going into the kind of the draft season, if you will, because he really only had one additional game this season. I think he's going to be a fascinating test case. Certainly has the numbers. He has the play. He ticks all the boxes in terms of size and all that. But I think there's going to be some momentum behind Zach Wilson because he's been playing. He's been putting up these big numbers. He's in the Heisman conversation. He's throwing the ball all over the yard and doing it well and really lifting that offense up. So I think it's going to be a fascinating conversation for a lot of teams. And I'm sure somebody is going to talk themselves into, maybe we move him ahead of Trey Lance on our board. And you never know what happens when those draft picks are flying fast. But I think more than anything, it's shaping up to be an interesting year for a lot of those teams that do need quarterbacks, because some of the bad teams that we know are going to be picking high don't need a guy. If Cincinnati keeps losing out, we know that they're not going to, have a quarterback. So who's going to be interested in terms of trading up to go get some of those guys? You got a lot of guys retiring, like Big Ben with the Steelers. We know that his window is closing. So maybe that's a team that's looking to move up and acquire guys. Just really a fascinating draft year at the quarterback position, given everything that's going on. And I think he's certainly closing the gap between him and Trey Lance going forward.
How much do you worry about the size of a quarterback?
Well, we're seeing it right now. It doesn't matter that much. Look at Sunday night. I mean, two guys under 5'11", just balling out on the NFL stage and rifling both of Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson in MVP conversation. We saw Baker Mayfield, nearly perfect for three quarters, the final three quarters on Cincinnati. So I think teams are being more accepting of smaller quarterbacks nowadays, which is good, because I think you look at all the success in college that has filtered up to the NFL, and with that I think is much more open mind in terms of what those prototype guys you need. Now I think the other thing to keep in mind as well is also a lot of those guys can run, and I think that is the great equalizer in today's game, is the ability to get the guys not only outside of the pocket and doing things like that, but really making sure that when a play breaks down, you're able to have at least rely on that quarterback to buy you some additional time. And I think this is the modern NFL nowadays, is you got to have a quarterback that can move, at least have that threat of a run to take an extra defender out of the box. So I think that is going to be a play key for all of the guys that you will look at come draft time as well.
Brian, we appreciate it, man. Great insight as always. Enjoy the games, and look forward to catching up with you next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you then.
Brian Fisher. You can follow him on Twitter at Brian D. Fisher, writer for Athlon Sports, and does a tremendous job.
I actually think Zach Wilson will be looked at as an undersized quarterback. So he's going to need to have a lot of – and look, people are going to debate that, but that's coming from more than just an opinion. And it's not about the height as much as it's about just the overall bulk of an individual.
Yeah.
So scouts are going to look at him and they're going to say, this is not the build of a Herbert. It's not the build of an Allen. Certainly not the build of a Roethlisberger, a Manning. It's more of an undersized build. He's more of a sleek frame. But his toughness and his ability to take a hit is well proven. And I'm hoping that that doesn't impede a team from stepping in and taking a shot with him in the first couple of rounds because they think, well, his body just can't hold up. I think his body will hold up. And I know he's gone through a shoulder injury, and I know he broke a wrist and or thumb, and I know that there's been problems, but he recovers quick. He shows toughness, not afraid to take a hit. He'll stand in a pocket. He'll take a blitzing hit to deliver a ball. Does a lot of impressive things that you want from a quarterback.
I talked to a scout last year in the whole Jordan Love thing, and he mentioned that the NFL, a lot of NFL owners out there are looking at their GMs and saying, why didn't we draft up to get Patrick Mahomes? Kansas City did it. Nobody else wanted to do it. Why did they see it and you didn't see it? So all these GMs are getting they're getting a talking to about why didn't you see what Andy Reid in Kansas City saw? And so they're all out there trying to find a guy who has these crazy intangibles that have all these cool things about them, but may not be winning a ton of games. Because, you know, Patrick Mahomes didn't win a lot of games at Texas Tech. They weren't particularly good when he was there. And so there is a fear of NFL teams of missing out on the next Patrick Mahomes. That benefited Jordan Love last year. And if Zach Wilson wants to come out, because Zach plays a lot more like Patrick Mahomes than Jordan Love did. You know, Jordan Love is not the
– absolutely.
You know, Jordan Love's more a little bit like Aaron Rodgers. You know, absolutely. Stay in the pocket, throw it. If it's not there, get rid of it. He's not necessarily a showboat gambler out there like Mahomes is. Zach Wilson has a little bit more Mahomes to him. And I think that's going to help him because there's GMs out there saying, if this kid – is as good as or has that same kind of ability and those same kind of attributes. And I'm not comparing the two. Don't Utah fans don't yell at me. I'm just saying he's got the same kind of style and swagger. And I think there's going to be a GM out there who goes, I can't. My job's on the line. I got a hit on this. And if this kid's anything like Mahomes, we're going to have to take a long, hard look at him. Because there is a lot of pressure out there to not only find quarterbacks, but don't let a potential great quarterback slip through your fingers because you're being too cautious.
And he shows the signs of being maybe that. He shows the signs of it.
Yeah.
Boise State will be a big test. Pressed out receivers will be a big test. Pressure will be a big test when it comes. But he's passed so many tests already. His overall flow of the game is very reminiscent of that, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And I know you're not saying that.
I'm not saying they're the same or they're going to have the same career. I'm not saying any of that.
But when you watch the flow of his game, that's the most comparable. It's more Patrick Mahomes than it is even Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Kind of a more unorthodox, gadgetry-related quarterback style than Russell Wilson. And you're right. That could play huge into a possible draft pick. I just think his stock is skyrocketing, man. Skyrocketing. And it would take a major catastrophe at this point for him to not go into the draft in 2021.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Melissa's with us now from Sound Sleep Medical. Call right now, 801-285-9731. The first 50 callers to call in and schedule that sleep consultation, you got some prizes for them.
It's a great offer today. We've got a drawing for our Better Sleep gift basket, and that includes a Minky Couture blanket, a purple pillow, and a $100 Amazon gift card.
And this is changing people's life. It's not a CPAP machine. It's an oral appliance like a mouth guard or a bleach tray, and there's so many people out there that just are scared to death of having a CPAP machine. They don't want to be at that point in their life. Well, this isn't a CPAP machine.
No, it's not. And you're right. There are a lot of people out there suffering. I mean, having untreated sleep apnea is a hard way to live. They are dragging through their day. Can't wait to go to bed again at night. They get home from work. They don't have the energy to engage with their family. You know, they have a hard time on the job. This is what untreated sleep apnea does, and you don't have to live that way.
Yeah. I mean, there's frankly a lot of people, and I know I was this way, and I'm sure people have told you this as well. You don't know how poorly you're sleeping until you actually get a good night's sleep.
It's true. I've had people, you know, the very first night with using this oral appliance, they're like, I had no idea. This is what it feels like.
Yeah, to wake up and like, oh, I feel great.
Yeah.
Instead of dragging your old bones out of bed. I mean, that's awesome. Call right now, 801-285-9731. The other thing is 6 locations up and down the Wasatch Front, too.
Yep. 6 locations accepted by medical insurance. Many, many companies we're in network with, including Medicare and TRICARE, United, Cigna. It's a great time of year to use your HSA, your flex spending. Maybe you've met your deductible. There's really no reason to put this off any longer.
801-285-9731. Please make that phone call right now. Right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Let's go. The Big Show.
It's a big deal.
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
Regardless of how poor the competition is, Zach Wilson is showing some stuff that is indicating a talent that he is. And it doesn't matter who you're playing, when you can spin a ball downfield the way this kid can, I'm starting to come around.
I'd like to say that I've always been high on Zach Wilson. I did not think last year was indicative of his capabilities as a quarterback because I thought he was coming off surgery and he was hurt. And he still beat USC, by the way. So maybe we should have seen this coming a little bit more, but there's a reason that NFL guys are high on him. There's no doubt.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Recall. Did you miss the big topic of the day, the big interview, or maybe you missed another of the guy's shenanigans? Recall. It's time to recall all the great and not so great moments of the show. Recall. It's Total Recall with Hans and Scotty on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Recall.
Hanson Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. You ever get the hiccups in the middle of the show?
Yeah, oh, it's happened. Yeah.
I've had meat, me right now.
I've had meat get stuck in my throat right in the middle of the show. It's horrible. You notice it when it happens, too. You know my face. I go pale, and I'm like, oh, I can't swallow because there's meat caught in my throat. That's why I can't eat during the show because of my small esophagus.
It's probably why we shouldn't eat in the middle of the show, but we still do.
No, we don't.
Not in the middle of segments. I'm just talking about during breaks.
We haven't for a long time. We've done a really good job being diligent of not doing that anymore.
Okay. Sure.
What's this Mandalorian you and Johnny are speaking of?
Mandalorian's
so excited.
Mandalorian's
about.
Coming back on Friday. Season 2. You should watch season 1. It's really good.
I actually had somebody tell me that it's a good family show. They're like, if you were really looking for something to watch as
yeah,
a family.
That and Hereditary. You should watch that.
Back to back?
Yeah. No, Mandalorian. And it's not like, it's not crazy CGI, too, that you hate.
I hate CGI.
There's a little, but not, it's not crazy. Although you do have a little baby Yoda.
I hate CGI.
It's just a little weird.
Then make a little mechanical
they did.
Yoda.
They did. It is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Those always look better. Mechanical always looks better than CGI.
That is really not true at all.
Well, it's not like Baby Yoda does all that much. I mean, they could put like a little stuffed animal right there. Probably be just fine.
It just raises its arms every now
that's
and then.
That's all it does.
Yeah.
I cannot
blinks
believe
a couple times.
The hype and pub around this Baby Yoda. I cannot believe it.
Yeah.
This little thing has grabbed so much attention. And then I hear it's not even a Baby Yoda.
It's not a Baby Yoda?
It's just a child.
I know, but it's like
well, it's a mix between Chewbacca and
Princess Leia.
Princess Leia, but yeah.
It is not. It is not.
Wait a minute, so it's not of the origin of Yoda, like the same species?
No, it is.
Okay. But it's not Yoda. It's not Yoda as a baby.
Yeah, no, there's like, no. This is way in the future.
Okay.
Like it could be Yoda's baby. Like somewhere Maury's like, your baby it is. I'm sorry. That was bad.
And Yoda's like, what's up?
Yoda's baby.
who?
Sorry, I feel bad about that one. That was bad. That was a dumb one.
The baby, it is not yours.
Your baby, it is not. It's been one of those shows today. All right.
Not the best.
Total Recall right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. We talked about the quarterback battle between Jake Bentley and Cam Rising up at the University of Utah. Kyle Whittingham gave his thoughts, and Hans and I tried to break it down a little bit more.
My original conversation was Jake Bentley is the safe route in a short and condensed camp. I think that these extra weeks, the more I look at film, the more I evaluate these two players, the risk and reward of Cam Rising and this consistency of Jake Bentley, I think these 2 weeks are just enough to get Cam Rising to a point where he could start a game. I think Jake Bentley would have started Saturday. I think there's a good chance we see possibly Cam Rising get the start in the opener against Arizona, because I think that you've got a couple of extra weeks to prepare him.
Hmm.
So I don't know. I'm trying to base this off of film work, and I'm trying to, like I said, read the tea leaves as much as I can. And the tea leaves tell me that Cam Rising might be the better option for Andy Ludwig and what he's able to do. And let me just help you kind of understand. Not you, but the listener understand.
Yeah.
So Cam Rising does a few things for me. He gives me a true RPO option. And, you know, I'm not a fan of RPO, but, you know, there is a place for RPO in the Pac-12. There's a place for RPO in Andy Ludwig's system. And that run-pass option, Cam Rising is your option for run-pass option. He also gives me a great QB draw and a great QB sprint out option. He gives me a great pocket break option. If my pocket collapses, he's gone. He can work with his feet, and he can give me a little bit of extra time, and he can go get those yards. And he's a little bit more of a slinger. He's a little bit more Brett Favre than he is John Elway. If that helps you kind of understand Cam Rising's mindset. And when you take all those things into consideration, and I know I've said Jake Bentley, and that was up to last week, because I think you needed that consistency and that veteran presence, and you know, he was nominated a captain, correct?
Yeah, yep.
I think Jake Bentley was nominated a captain. But I can't get away from the thought that Cameron Rising gives you just a little bit more juice in the tank as an offensive coordinator, as a play caller. So how do I get away from that? If I'm a play caller, how do I get away from that?
Well, I mean, I can go back and forth on the conversation we've had about the quarterbacks in terms of one is kind of more safe, reliable, good decisions. It's just a nice little, it's a nice safety blanket to have. The other one, a little bit more risk, but a little bit more reward. The upside's higher.
Possibly.
And the decision-making could give you some headaches from time to time. But the upside is somebody who can really make some plays for you. And if you're an offensive coordinator and you're Andy Ludwig, you're looking at this, you're like, what can I do more with one than the other? And if the answer is yes, then you got to take a long, hard look at it.
I also believe that now I think they've got their decision made. I mean, you heard Coach Whittingham essentially said coming out of this weekend, we might have it made internally. I think they've probably got their decision made.
Yeah,
would be my guess.
And you, as a Utah fan, won't know until probably somebody takes the field, because Kyle Whittingham's got a history of that.
Yeah,
which is fine.
And Ludwig too,
yeah,
playing it really close to the vest. It's a tough code to crack, and that's why again I'm just taking my best shots at it with tea leaves and film. But I just think that you've got a little bit more versatility in an offensive game where you don't have as much reliability on a Zach Moss. They do have a couple of running backs in that backfield that you can put the ball in their hands and they can go get the yards, but I think you need a bit of a gamer, a bit of a playmaker at quarterback with this offense. And I'm really careful with that because I talked about Jake Bentley just distributing it and getting it into Keithy's hands and getting it into Covey's hands and getting it into Thompson's hands. But I believe that giving yourself a little bit more range might be the right thing to do offensively as well. So we'll see what decision they eventually go with. But, and I'll always maintain that last Saturday, where everything was condensed and and closed up and you're really pressing and you just need a veteran presence, I think it would have been Bentley. But I think these extra 2 weeks really benefit Cam Rising.
There you go. Conversation with that we had earlier in the show about Cam Rising and Jake Bentley and how that thing could play out before this thing is all said and done. And it could be really interesting for sure. Let's move on. Sneak in one more real quickly. Here's Gary Anderson, head coach at Utah State, talking about his quarterback, Jason Shelley.
Yeah, Jason's our quarterback. I mean, Jason's a proven winner. He's played at a very high level and had very, very, very successful outings, in my opinion, from what he's done. And you know, I believe we have two good quarterbacks, a young kid that's working to get his tail better every day in practice, and Andrew, and he's extremely hardworking and grinds it out. But, you know, Jason Shelley is a guy that we believe that can win his games, and I know he can win his games. There's no doubt, but I've been there. I've been on the sidelines. I've seen it done. I've watched him prepare. So, you know, in the first half, there sure was Shelley perfect? Heck no. He's got things he can work on, and no game is perfect. No player is perfect. But, you know, the time was not good to throw the football. We had a hard time getting off of man coverage, and it'll be no different this week. I mean, you got a team that dines and dashes and twists a lot and brings pressure from abnormal spots, and you got guys that play man coverage. So if you can't beat that, then you're going to have trouble as any quarterback. I don't care who you are, you're going to have some problems. And you know, we can get back and throw the ball and try to get it out and spin it around. I think we got good wide receivers. Give us an opportunity to play, and we've got an offensive line that's got to, you know, protect and give them some time. At times it was good enough, but it wasn't good enough, you know, consistently to be able to move the ball. And we didn't run the ball well enough in the first half to really give the offense a chance. So it's like you said at the very beginning, it's all of the above, including coaches and everybody that's involved to get it better so we can have some consistency on offense, because you won't win in this conference, you know, with that offensive production. And you know, it was much like last year. We didn't do much with them last year as far as the offense went. And unfortunately, that's where we are against Boise State right now. So we can all pretend and, you know, say things that are going to make us all feel better. But that's not my MO. We got to get better. And they beat us up in both phases. But on the offensive side of the ball, we had some success running the ball in the second half, a little bit more throwing also. But it's got to get better if you have a chance against those guys, period.
That's a tough team they played. And that is certainly something that's going to be difficult for them going forward to try to regroup as they take on San Diego State. They take on Nevada that they'll play in a week and a half. And you and I talked about this with Coach Anderson last week. Next week, so they'll play San Diego State on Saturday. You usually don't do much on Sunday. They'll have a practice on Monday. Tuesday, the NCAA will not let them practice because it's election day. And then Wednesday, they travel to Nevada to play on Thursday. They'll have one practice day.
How's that even possible? How do you even work with that?
That's a good question.
I would be so frustrated if I was a coach.
I know, right?
I'd be so frustrated.
And look,
I get one day to prepare for a major D1 football game, and then I get judged based off of that?
Yeah,
I mean,
and honestly, like it's really important what we're dealing with right now with the election, and we need our guys, and we need to make sure everybody has the opportunity and the time to vote. But still, it's just like, wow, it's really difficult.
I saw, is it Ben Winslow that tweets a lot of news stuff?
Yeah, Ben's great.
I saw him tweet out a number of votes that they're not a counted vote, but they are a submitted vote.
Yeah.
And I think it was like 550,000, and he said that that was one of the bigger numbers. Man and I got our ballots in yesterday, actually. You know, I've got to imagine the vote is going to be incredible.
Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be.
I've never seen the emphasis
on
the vote like I've seen in this election. And hopefully everybody continues to get that vote in there. And maybe the NCAA's got it right. I don't hate it, Scotty. You really do need to emphasize the day.
Yeah.
You've got to emphasize that day. This has got to be a day set aside to take part in one of the greatest things we get to take a part in as Americans, to decide our next president.
Yep. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Take a break. Wrap this thing up next right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Utah State football coach Gary Anderson. You've been coaching for a long time. Has anything prepared you for this year?
Nope. Absolutely nothing. It's like nothing I've ever been around. And when I say that, I don't mean it in a bad way. I've got a rock on my desk that says it is what it is. And I think that takes a whole new look at things right now is from what these kids have gone through. And I just got to put my focus back to them. And really, honestly, I just refocused myself, quite frankly, and said, you got to coach your kids, man. You got to be with them. You got to help them. You got to do everything you can. And what comes your way, and that helped me, and I've tried to put that to the kids to help them be in that position also.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans and Scotty, hope you're all well. Wrapping up another edition of the show. It's been fun today. Remember, if you missed anything, go to our website at 1280thezone.com. Or better yet, just go to whatever podcasting platform, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. Just search Hans and Scotty. You can find whole shows there. You can find it broken up by hours. You can also find individual interviews. We'd love for you to go by. If you're on iTunes, leave a rating. Say something nice. Please, if you're upset with something, don't leave anything, because we're very sensitive about that. We have tender feelings.
It hurts our feelings. Is that what you want to do?
Would you like to do that to us?
Is that your goal? If it is, get better goals.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right. Big thanks to Melissa and Sound Sleep Medical for letting us hang out here today. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks for letting us invade the place again.
Good to have you again.
So let's talk about the sleep consultation. We need 50 people to call, schedule that consultation, 801-285-9731, and just arm yourself with some information on where you're at and what you're dealing with.
It's true. You do not want to be dealing with untreated sleep apnea. It contributes to all sorts of problems in your life, or it can catch up to you down the road. It just makes your life harder if you're dragging through your days.
If anybody out there is experiencing that drowsiness, or you just feel like you're waking up in the middle of the night too often, it really can be this sleep apnea, right, Melissa?
Absolutely. And an oral appliance is such a simple fix for all of this. It's not a medication. It's not a CPAP machine. It's a custom-made mouthpiece. You just wear it at night like a mouth guard, and believe it or not, it can fix all of these problems.
We need to talk about how insurances cover this too.
Yeah, it's a great time of year for insurance. A lot of people are meeting their deductibles, or they have HSA and flex spending accounts. And so come on in. It's a great time of year, because likely you're going to have very little, if any, out of pocket for this.
Wow.
To sleep better.
Yeah.
About that. And not to have to carry a big tank. And like Scotty talked about, getting, you know, that what's that water that you have to use to clean?
Well, it's like, don't you have to have like distilled water in it or something like that?
Distilled water for CPAPs and electricity. And this oral appliance requires none of that. It's very, very low maintenance.
801-285-9731. Please make that phone call right now. 801-285-9731. Melissa, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, big show next right here on the Zone Sports Network.